Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. 49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 24-16 opening game loss in Minnesota, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, the 49ers, tough schedule. You know that going into the season and starting the season in Minnesota against a Vikings team that was really good last year, best defense in the league last year, you know, making it to the NFC Championship game. I thought the 49ers actually played well enough to win this game. They just made a few mistakes here and there. Otherwise, it could have been theirs. What did you think about the overall performance in week one?
I would agree with you 100%. I think a few mistakes and a few plays that they needed to make, and they didn't. But definitely played well enough to win. A couple of those plays go their way, and I think they do win.
Let's go through the game. Let's start out with the beginning, which actually wasn't too great for the offense. I mean, they just couldn't move the ball. You know, they had the Lakin Tomlinson holding. That didn't help. And Garoppolo got sacked. And it just didn't look like things were in sync, really, those first couple of drives.
I would agree. Couldn't really establish the running game in the beginning. And then it seemed like maybe Kyle kind of found his way play calling wise, and you know, actually Christoph and I were watching it, and it was the same play three times in a row, but obviously they had seen something that they got it going. And I don't remember if that was in the first half or was the second half, but they kept running that. The play that I'm referring to was kind of a bootleg where he was finding Kittle out in the flat.
Yeah, they were finding some good rhythm with that. And even in the second quarter, I thought they got Alfred Morris going a little bit. And, you know, you just wondered how is he going to do? Because, you know, they had counted on McKinnon being their running back, and he got hurt before the season even started.
Yeah, and I think they did get it going. I mean, I think the offensive line found some rhythm in their run blocking. And I think that usually where the running game sets up that quarterback bootleg pass, I think the bootleg actually set up the run because somebody had to stay home and play it on the backside edge. And that's, you know, one less person that can be pursuing a run play away. So, it was nice to see them, find their stride and move the ball. But, some struggles in the red zone, like the preseason. Hopefully they can get that figured out for this week and put that behind them.
Yeah, I mean, the red zone, definitely. You get in there four times, you only score one touchdown. I mean, there were a couple of really painful ones. I mean, first of all, that fumble that Morris had, because that was a great chance to score. I mean, they're right in there, and they can't punch it in.
Yeah, that definitely hurt. Early on makes it I think would have made it 7-3, maybe 7-6. I don't remember exactly, but I think puts them ahead.
Yeah, because Vikings had the 3-0 lead early.
Yeah. So I think it makes it 7-3, and now put a little more pressure on the Vikings offense. Yeah, it just didn't quite make the plays that they needed to make.
Well, defensively, the 49ers played pretty well. If you think about it, their defense only gave up 17 points because there was the pick six. But there were a couple of instances where I wanted to ask you, Steve, what you thought about some of these defensive backs not turning around. And I know it's easier said than done when you're trying to cover somebody, but, you know, with Witherspoon and with Tart, there were a couple of touchdown passes where they didn't turn their head and they just didn't see the ball. And then the next thing you knew, it was a touchdown.
They're usually taught not to, to kind of watch a receiver's hands, watch his eyes, because a lot of times when a DB turns back to see the quarterback, it's too late. That ball's soaring over his head,
right.
And you know, when they do turn, you naturally slow down running. So, they were right there. I thought there were some really well thrown balls Cousins. The touchdown throw was spectacular. I don't remember who was defending him, but his hand was in the right place. He sees his hands go up. He tries to stick his hand in the middle to deflect the ball. But hey, I mean, just you got to give it to the Vikings. A great throw and a great catch.
Oh yeah, that was Diggs, by the way. That was the first touchdown.
That was Diggs.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, it was absolutely perfect. There was one other that I can think of to Cousins' left side that I think was kind of a back shoulder throw.
That was the Rudolph one that I was talking about with Tart,
and he didn't
I guess he didn't have time to turn his head around.
No, but it's better that they don't in probably 99 out of 100 times, just because, like I said, when they do, they naturally slow down and that ball's probably already in the air and boom, you get beat.
Yeah.
It's a matter of watching the guy's eyes, and they see their eyes, they see their hands, and the DBs, and then they try and shoot their hand up between the receiver's hands.
One thing that was really an improvement too, there was a lot of talk about how the 49ers need a better pass rush, and DeForest Buckner, I mean, he went out there and he had 2.5 sacks. He only had 3 all of last year. So, I mean, are they figuring out, you think, some ways for him to get to the quarterback, some stunts or whatever they're doing? Or is he just, you think, that much better as a pass rusher now?
Well, I think they're expecting a lot of Buckner. And I think he earned, that expectation last year. He had a darn good year. And then they've put some people around him. Solomon's got another year under his belt, and the young kid that they got from Temple.
Fred Warner?
Is number 91.
Oh no, I'm thinking of somebody else. No, I forgot who they got from Temple.
I think it's I'm drawing a blank on his name. I think it's number 91, but he seems to have a pretty good knack of pass rushing from a defensive tackle standpoint. I think they've got some good people around Buckner, and I thought the defensive line actually overall they played really well.
Yeah, they did. Let's talk a little bit about also just playing a team like the Vikings with all this firepower, because the defense is great, and also they have really good receivers, because you mentioned that pass by Cousins to Diggs, he's good. How about Thielen? I mean, he really has great hands. I mean, it looks like he has stick-em on his hands, so it's very difficult. I mean, he doesn't, but it's very difficult to defend these guys.
Really good hands, and a couple times they isolate on him, ran really good routes and had a sense for, kind of slowing himself down into a hole. That Cousins seemed to have a feel for already, even though he's only been playing with him for a few weeks.
There was one where he got just lost though. Thielen was wide open, and Kaywan Williams looked like he was just kind of lost in that one long reception.
Was it,
It was like 34 yards. He was just wide open. I was just saying, how can somebody be that wide open? I guess it just happens.
Yeah, yeah. I'm drawing a blank on it. I don't remember it for whatever reason. I mean, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it just happens, unfortunately. But I think, you know, those are maybe some of the situations that the Niners didn't necessarily capitalize on. Not that I remember a lot of people running wide open, but you know, just making those plays that make a difference in the game.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about some of the mistakes that were made that kind of were costly. I mean, on the offensive side, there was the George Kittle drop pass. Now, yeah, he got into that rhythm early, as you were saying earlier in the game, but he dropped a touchdown pass. I mean, that was right in his hands, and he just didn't catch it. And that was a big play, I thought, in the game.
That drop was big. I thought the Pierre Garçon drop, I mean, yeah, I realize he got hit, but the ball hit him perfectly in both hands.
Yeah.
I think, he's got to come down with it, period. And then Jimmy, he misses, I think he misses Kittle in the first half. Kind of a Texas route. I think it's Garçon that's coming underneath, and the linebacker bites on the underneath route, but he's maybe still in the throwing lane a little bit, and Jimmy G tries to dink it, and it flies on him. So I'm pretty sure it was Kittle.
It was a little too high. I thought maybe Dwight Clark would have caught it.
Yeah, but I think that when they show the replay, I could see the linebacker in the throwing lane, so I can understand a little bit why it was high. But you know, those three plays to me are along with the turnovers. I mean, when you look at the stats, the only real difference is four turnovers versus one.
Right.
But you make those three plays, and you can overcome those turnovers.
Oh yeah. Well, I want to talk about those turnovers, but first I was going to tell you what Kittle said about the higher pass. He said, "I can't jump 40 inches at 250. If I was 10 pounds lighter, maybe." So maybe he could have caught that a little lighter.
Yeah, but he'd get manhandled, probably trying to block.
Right. And here's what he said about not being able to catch that touchdown pass. He said, "I misjudged it. I thought it was a little bit closer to me. Probably ran a little bit too far with my arms out. Just a bad play." And you know what that made me think of is baseball. Like when you're going after a ball in the outfield, you're taught to not put your arm out while you're running until the last minute. And maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Right, right. Well, he needs to take a lesson from Dante Pettis.
Right.
tracking balls in center field like Dante's dad.
Right, exactly. Gary Pettis. By the way, Dante Pettis. And before we get to the interceptions, I did want to get to what I thought was the play of the game, the Dante Pettis touchdown at the end of the third quarter. To me, that was eye-opening. I mean, Jimmy G bouncing out of the pocket, going left, throwing pretty much with all arm, kind of looking like Aaron Rodgers, and Pettis did such a great job.
And honestly, I thought he was throwing it away.
Really? Yeah.
At first, I was like, "Oh, he's just chucking that one," and then I was like, "Whoa!" And then when they show the replay, I'm like, "Okay, no, he could see where he was coming from." You could kind of see quick, you know, in the replay because it was from behind Garoppolo, so you could kind of see him peek to see where he was.
Well, Pettis did.
Great throw and a great catch, period.
You can appreciate this because when you had receivers that do a good job of improvising, I mean, he looked like he found a spot. It was on the fly there. It was kind of improvising, found a spot to run in the end zone. And then, of course, he made the great catch, I mean, right at the back of the end zone and securing it and everything.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah. I hope we see a lot more of that this year.
How much does a quarterback even practice that kind of a throw? Like you said, it looked like he was throwing it away, but you have to be ready for that moment.
I mean, that's knowing your receiver. That's knowing the overall pattern the overall routes, the whole play, and where people are and where people are going to end up. That was a great job of ad-libbing.
We'll continue the conversation with Steve Bono right after this.
There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Let's hear what 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan had to say about the mistakes the 49ers made in their loss in Minnesota.
And I think that it was very evident there was a lot of opportunities we missed out there. I think the guys knew that before they saw the tape and after. And a lot of that, you can feel two ways about it. You have mixed emotions about it because it's frustrating when you let opportunities go. But also when you come in feeling like crap after a loss like you always do, it's also good to see that you're capable of doing a lot better. And we can see that, and we just got to do it.
Now, Jimmy G had the three interceptions. Okay, one of them, that pick six, to, you know, obviously Bourne fell down, so that was part of that. I mean,
yeah.
But did he also make a mistake?
It just looked like he, if I remember correctly, he was getting rushed. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he rushed it a little bit. Because it was pretty far inside. From where the receiver was.
Yeah, so it might have been hard to get anyway.
It looked like it was some sort of a kind of a turnout out, you know, like a turnout out where he's turning in and then sliding out.
Well, this is what Bourne said, though. Listen to this. He said, "I was supposed to run an under route. Jimmy put the ball inside, and I ran a hitch route to the outside just to miss the assignment by me, just thinking of another play."
So then he was wrong. Then the receiver was wrong. Garoppolo's expecting him to come, you know, come underneath of that defensive back. So that would explain why the ball was further inside.
Yeah. So that's on the receiver.
I didn't see that quote, but yeah. that would totally explain why that ball was inside.
Yeah. So that one, I guess, I wouldn't put on him. But you know, you look at the other interceptions. One of them was just a great catch. I mean, it was just.
One-handed. That was a little bit of luck and a great play by the defensive back. I mean, I thought that, and I think that ball was to Pettis, and I thought Pettis hurt Garoppolo a little bit. He needed to be a little more decisive on that slant cut. He tried to make, I think, one too many moves in there, and you know, and the timing was off. You know, whether Jimmy squeezed it for a split second longer, trying to hold on to it for him, but I thought Pettis needed to be more decisive.
Yeah, I agree.
In the route.
Yeah, and Xavier Rhodes was the player who made that play. I mean, that was a good grab, but I agree with
you. Oh, it was great. I mean, it was, you know, hits his hand, hits his face mask, goes back to his hand. So there was a little bit of luck involved in that one, but we'll give the defender a good play on that.
And then the last interception actually to me was the worst because I don't know what Jimmy G saw there. I mean, Trent Taylor was totally covered. I guess he was just trying to jam it in there, but
yeah, it was covered. I think that's simply it. He was trying to make a play and trying to make a play as a quarterback with your arm usually gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
fine. Throw it to the open guy and let them make a play with their legs. That's my best advice only because I've been there and made that try to make that throw too many times and probably got intercepted most of them.
Yeah. Well, one thing that hurt is that the Vikings had the ball longer because they were able to get a first down on neutral zone infraction by Solomon Thomas. That was a killer because that was obvious to everybody. They were just going to try to draw the 49ers off. And he jumps. I mean, I heard the analogy today. It was a really good one. It's kind of like the pitcher in baseball who fakes to third and throws to first. You know, you never pick anybody off on that, but then you do, and then you're so embarrassed by it. That's what that looked like.
Right, right. Yeah, that was unfortunate because they were able to keep the drive alive and you know, put the game away.
Yeah, they got another first down out of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that put the 49ers in a bad position.
I mean, yeah. You know, that's, I know we've talked about this numerous times, you know, 4 minute football, you're winning. You got to run the clock out. Everybody in the stadium knows you got to run the ball. You know you have to run the ball, and you got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and that's a, you know, that's a sign of a good team. Not that the Niners aren't, because I think when they're winning games and they have to run the ball, I think they'll be able to do it pretty well.
Well, the expectations were so high. I mean, just sky high after going
5-0
last year with Jimmy G. So do you have to temper your enthusiasm a little bit after this?
I think so a little bit. I mean, I don't necessarily think that after this game. I just think in general, the, you know, the expectations after last season, 5 wins in a row, and people, oh, we're going to be 10-6, and like, I hope we're 10-6. I truly do. But if we're 9-7 or 8-8, I think that's pretty realistic.
Yeah, and it's improving.
It's improving. I think we'll be. I believe we'll be competitive in every game. I don't foresee there, being a blowout against you. At least I hope not. Are we better than last year? Yes, no question.
Absolutely.
Again, will we be 10-6? Gosh, I hope so. But let's be a little more realistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough schedule, especially early on.
Yeah,
look, Detroit is not a slouch team next, and that's at home. But anytime you have Matthew Stafford, then you got to play at Kansas City, at the Chargers with Phillip Rivers. I mean, later on at Green Bay, these are all tough games.
No question. I mean, I don't know exactly how good the Chargers are. Phillip Rivers, he's always going to be competitive, so that makes it tough. But I mean, Detroit coming in here, you can't go into Kansas City. That's not an easy place, and they played really well yesterday.
They did, yeah, with a rookie quarterback who looks good.
yeah. So, no, it's not an easy schedule, but I think that. I think the Niners are better, and I think they played well yesterday. A few turnovers, and got to make a few more plays.
Well, Jimmy G is now 7-1 as an NFL starter. First loss, by the way, first loss as a starter since Eastern Illinois lost 1,000 in the snow in the FCS quarterfinals in December 2013. I saw that in a couple of stories.
Oh my gosh,
Ian Killian! I think that's the first time I saw it. So yeah, I mean, this guy's not used to losing. He did look a little aggravated. I mean, we didn't see that last year. He just looked like, man, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, he did. He was a little frustrated at some points. But that's gonna happen on the road in a dome with a dome team, you know, that's got a lot of speed.
plays fast on turf from last year.
Yeah. I mean, they got some players. They got some good players on defense. They really do. So
yeah, I'm not concerned at all about him.
No. I think there's a lot of good takeaways, and I think there's a lot of positive takeaways, and there's a few negative plays, I'll call them, that they can definitely learn from.
The one thing I am concerned about, though, is some of these injuries, which I don't know. We'll find out throughout the week the extent, but Garnett and Person, two guards going out.
I know. I haven't seen anything today.
Not yet, yeah.
Yeah.
And even Goodwin didn't play because he was banged up. He played in the game, but then he went out and he tried to come back.
He took a he took quite a shot there.
Yeah.
I was saying as watching, I was like, I think that defensive lineman's leg might weigh more than he does.
Oh man. And they need him. They need the way he can, you know, have well, that breakaway speed.
They need that speed, exactly. Yeah. They need that speed, that separation speed.
Yeah.
Well, good thing is it's only game one.
Only game one and the home
get to play
opener.
Again on Sunday.
Yeah, home opener. Are you gonna be there for that?
Oh yeah. I will be.
All right, good. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to talking again next week. Great to have you back, Steve, for another year of 49ers Extra. And
Always fun talking about it.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. He will join us every week here on thesportsvirus.com. Also, our special guest throughout the season will be 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard. He will join us on a regular basis as well. Join us again next Tuesday for our next 49ers Extra. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.